Hello, one day. It's Thursday, December 18th, 2025. This is the week in charts. Obviously, I want to thank all you guys and girls for attending. Still have some software glitches, getting the bugs out. I know I've been saying that forever, but it seems like each week something new arises. To register, daylight.com/webinar, but at the moment, there's an issue with that. But we'll get that fixed, I promise. So what are we talking about? Obviously, current market conditions, they have a lot to say about that. Your questions on trading, your favorite stock of crypto picks, you can start punching those in now if you like. This week, I want to continue with the year in review. And I want to continue with the would you take this trade? And this is in hindsight, but I backed the chart out to day one. And that's going to make a lot more sense in just 1 minute. And more importantly than that, I want to do a little intro to what trading is all about and what it's not. Anyway, there's my contact information. You can also reach me at davidlandner.com. There's a disclaimer screen. He tried to say, as you know, you can lose money trading or as all the summing up. Borrowing a line from my buddy Greg Morris. All predictions are about the future and a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. Stand near to my office and you'll hear some F-bombs. There's my contact information once more. All right, so as I've said 1,000 times, the missing piece for me, and I think for anyone in trading, and I have the privilege of working with a lot of traders, and a lot of them have gone on to do some amazing things, stuff a little bit different than mine, but they started out doing something really simple and became successful. And then things got a little bit more intricate and not just the opposite. And I'm going to get to that in just 1 second. But the bottom line is, I think everybody overcomplicates things. And if you're newer to trading or if you're struggling in trading, and we all struggle, believe me, I think if somebody could show you what they're actually doing with actual real trades, it goes a long, long ways to see that somebody's actually doing this. And that somebody's actually taking losses and losing money, making money, and net, doing fairly well over extended periods of time. And for me, again, I was very fortunate to see several traders that I worked with. I was doing consulting and programming, and then later finding stocks for certain gentlemen. And just seeing them actually make trades and do this day in and day out was a godsend for me. I mean, I had success and I was doing okay, but every time I get a loss, I would get real depressed or a string of losses, as you will have, okay? It became tougher and tougher, but actually seeing somebody do this and go through the ups and downs made me feel more normal. And I think that's one thing that I really want to bring to everyone is just to make you feel more normal. This business can really make you feel abnormal. Anyway, as I was saying, this business can make you feel abnormal. One time I was doing a presentation and I was trying to wrap it up, kind of a long story in this type of situation. And then I said, well, the bottom line is we're all crazy. And I kind of just said it in a flippant kind of way. And then right after the webinar, somebody emailed me and said, thanks for saying that. I feel normal now. And trading can really make you feel abnormal. Now, going into this presentation, like weeks prior, I'm looking at these simple patterns, and it's just a reminder to me how simple this is. And I'm thinking like, well, is this going to be boring? Because it's no gee whiz. It's like, no, Dave, this is how you actually make money. And when you try to get into things a little bit more complex, most often you lose money. So if you want to make money, this is what you have to do. You can follow me, okay? Not that you're always going to make money. There's no guarantees, right? But over time, you should do just fine if you follow some really simple patterns and keep it real simple. And I'll pick this apart a little bit before we go through the actual examples. But if you have a stock that's in a really nice trend and you have a very simple setup, and most of the time, in fact, 99% of the time when I'm picking a setup, there's zero indicators whatsoever on the chart. Now, I do like the 30 EMA, which I have displayed here, and I do find it of use, okay? But I only put that on the charts after I've done my analysis. And the reason I created something like the Landry Light Pullback was to have something that was a little bit more quantifiable, or actually, I would actually use the word qualifiable, so people could see what I'm doing. It's just a defined pullback. It's all it is. And 99% of my patterns are pullback related. Anyway, so it's an entry, it's a stop, it's initial profit target. The stop comes up to break even when you hit that initial profit target, and then you trail loosely on the remainder. On the initial profit target, you take it off half, and you have to position yourself for the potential for a longer term gain. I'm not a big fan of pure short term trading, although I'm slotted as a swing trader. I think it's a horrible way to try to make money, because you'll do really well for extended periods of time, but you'll get whacked pretty hard every now and then, and you're gonna give up a lot of gains when you do. Same thing happens obviously with the swing to intermediate term hybrid approach, but at least you occasionally catch a home run like this one here, and knock on wood, we're still in this position. Now, yes, it can be this simple, and it is this simple, but it's never easy. I don't want to come across like, oh, it's easy. All you got to do is this, you know? It's a lot harder than it looks, but when you boil it all down, and this has been a good exercise for me, even though it was a real pain in the ass and took hours and hours of work, resetting all these charts back to day one, and I think there was one that didn't trigger right away, and I kept on it until it eventually triggered, that in hindsight, maybe after that 10th day or whatever, no trigger, it probably wasn't no longer worthwhile. So it was one trade out of all these trades that in perfect hindsight, I probably shouldn't have taken that one. But for the most part, that's one thing that's kind of confidence building for me. There's not one of these trades, even the losing ones, of course, and that's the ones you really gotta look at, that I wouldn't have taken, seeing the same pattern again. Anyway, if you back the chart out to day one, which we're gonna do a lot of today, we're gonna finish up 2025, you'll see that number one, we had a stock that was in kind of a gradual, longer term uptrend, and then it began to accelerate higher, okay? So you had acceleration. Also, the stock tended to trade cleanly, okay? Thrust, pullback, thrust, pullback, thrust, pullback, rinse and repeat, and I hate to use the word hope, but hopefully, if a stock looks like that and you get in it, it will continue to perform like that, as opposed to stocks that are kind of wide and loose and all over the place. Right now, there's been a few stocks in my Landry list, this is my daily call list that I published as part of my trading service, that look pretty good over the shorter to intermediate term, but longer term, they're kind of wide and loose and all over the place. And they also have some other issues like overhead supply and all. So even though they look okay shorter term, longer term, they really haven't proven themselves. But in a case like this, you've got a pretty decent looking longer term trend, and it trades very cleanly. Also notice you had zero downside Landry Light. That would mean the high would be less than the moving average for Landry Light. And in this entire period, there were no days where the market was below, the highs were below the moving average. Now you had a few dips below the 30 throughout, but the bar still was intersecting the moving average. So no downside Landry Light for a long, long, long time. And of course, one of the most important indicators of all, the big blue arrow was pointing higher. Now, a while back, a long while back, somebody pointed out, like in my books, when I show an example, I don't show what the market's doing, I don't show what the sector's doing, but I can guarantee you, in most cases, the sector was headed higher and the market was headed higher for all the longs. And every now and then, even in bad markets and bad sector conditions, you will have a setup that just looks phenomenal and it's just worth taking. You'll have this occasional outlier. That's the exception, not the norm. This morning when I woke up, as part of my writing, I wrote that a bull market will cure a multitude of sins, okay? And unfortunately, that bull market leg, at least that beautiful, just, you know, like the little, what's the little guy on, the little mountain man on Price is Right, you know, you know, just kind of slowly going up in a very somewhat persistent type of manner. Unfortunately, and when we get to the live charts, I'll show you what I mean. Unfortunately, you know, we've kind of done this lately, right? Kind of head and shoulder toppy looking, mostly sideways. Big blue arrows started pointing a little sideways. So now's the time to sit back and be selective. It's hard. I know I'm kind of backing into something else, but the problem is, and the more motivated you are, the harder this is going to be. I have one client that he's in a different country because that's where his wife is working at the present time, and he's not allowed to work. So all he has to do is trade, okay? So I imagine the pressure is pretty high on him. He's trying to produce income from the market, and the market doesn't work that way, okay? If you follow along the service, I might bore you to death. We might go days and weeks and sometimes even months without new setups triggering, okay? But that's all crucial for the methodology. And that's just one, and I'm kind of backing this into this accidentally, but that's the problem is, yeah, it could really be this easy, okay? Or this simple, I should say. But the psychology that's involved is far more difficult than we need to make it. Leonardo da Vinci once said, simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. And I obviously fully agree. And that was straight from, I took that from Trading Full Circle. One should not increase beyond what is necessary the number of entities to explain anything. I think the big blue arrow, you know, is it going up? Is it going down? I don't have a coat on, but I have the instructions. I don't know if you can see them printed right here. That would be an uptrend. See a little arrow going up? Because sometimes I try to outsmart the markets, okay? That's Occam's Razor. I stumbled across this one a while back. What's the name of the book? I want to say it's The Art of Thinking Clearly. If you go to davelearner.com/books-2-read, which should be in the comments section below if you're watching a recording of this on YouTube. It's a pretty good book, The Art of Thinking Clearly. And there's another one called Seeing What Other People Don't. And I don't know if that's the same author. But anyway, I stumbled across this a while back, skimming through this book. Simplicity is the zenith of a long, arduous journey, not the starting point. I programmed thousands, literally thousands of trading systems. And it's not like 1,000 distinct trading systems or 2,000 or however many it was. It's variations thereof on one. So the combinatorics add up really quick. And that's why I ended up way back in the day in my trade station, Easy Language, with thousands of setups. I was also doing research for other people and programming. And so I would take, and this was mostly Larry Connors, but there were others, but I would take his ideas and flesh them out and try to get them to work. And at the same time, I was on a holy grail hunt thinking there's got to be some sort of holy grail out there. There's not, okay? But the good news is that really, really, really simple stuff can work. Now, as I said 1,000 times, we all seem to have to go on this trader's journey. And sometimes I'll see charts where somebody will have two different oscillators plotted and one is an inverse of the other, okay? And so at all times, you could have two indicators pointing in different directions, okay, like that, right? So which one do you follow? And that's something that you really have to wrap your head around. If you're going to use something, and I see a lot of people using certain things that I'm not a fan of, not because it doesn't necessarily work. I don't know if it works or not, but it's I haven't spent years and years and years and years and years researching it. Okay. And if I went through that type of analysis, then by all means, what I would encourage you to do is figure out how to trade off a blank chart, maybe with just a 30 EMA, okay? And do the Landry-like pullbacks with just one simple pattern, okay? Linda Rasky, all you need is one pattern to be successful. Just do that, okay? This is turning into a mind to trade, which I'll probably put it as a mind to trade. And if you want to add on other things, become successful with that first before you add on something else, because you can end up with an analysis paralysis. And, you know, I'm just thinking out loud here, and, you know, after seeing some recent charts with some indicators I'm not using, and it's not to take anything away from those indicators, and the person for one of the indicators, I'm not going to say his name or whatever, because I don't want to give a better, a good or bad impression, he seems to know what he's doing, the guy that invented it, or uses it, or popularized it, I should say. And he seems to do okay with it, so maybe there's something there. But if that's what you're going to use, just make sure you spend years using it. And the person that I saw using this has only been trading for a few years, so it's like, well, unless they started from day one, they haven't been using that for years. This is new to me all of a sudden is what I'm saying. So be confident, become successful with something simple before adding. And I would encourage you to try not to add too much. And this is one way you could skip this trader's journey, this long, arduous journey, right? It's to just stick with the blank chart. You know, maybe the 30 EMA for a little bit of reference, maybe some longer term EMAs for the market analysis and some sector analysis, maybe a 50 simple, 200 simple, just to kind of give you an idea where we are, bigger picture. But for the most part, a blank chart is all you need. Now, as I've said before, the stock on the left was one of our bigger winners from many years ago. This was in Trading Full Circle, so it was a little bit newer to the, a little bit more relevant at the time. But that was just a simple little setup, just a little pullback, okay? Big blue arrow, I'm looking at it in hindsight. It has persistency, it has a little acceleration. It tends to trade very cleanly. And persistency and trading cleanly kind of go hand in hand. Persistency is just a stock's ability to go up day after day after day. The bars tend to stack on top of each other as it rises, as opposed to the charts on the right, where you have all these different indicators coming together. Some are going down, some are going up. You know, which way? What is the chart on the right saying? Okay, I don't know. But that's the type of charts I will see people trying to use. So shift the gears. Let's take a look at the rest of the trades from 2025. So this was a gold stock, and you can see it triggered. It took a long while to get to the initial profit target, but it didn't stop out. So that was, if you go in, if you get really bored at night, go in, or whenever, I can't sleep at night, go in and rewind all of the week of charts for 2025. And that was probably a mystery chart way back in May. And I think I covered nearly every chart that I recommended. I'm doing it in this presentation, these several presentations I've done recently, but I've done it in throughout the year as mystery charts. But anyway, just a longer term widening stop to stick with it, and knock on wood, we're still with this one. Okay, so here's the stock. Would you take this stock? Okay, well, it looks pretty good to me. The big blue arrow is pointing higher. Look at the persistency in this, okay? Nice little pullback to the moving average. Little bit of Landry light below the moving average, but not too bad. Just a couple of days. I mean, given the magnitude of the trend, okay, this stock went up like 500%, all right, from $2 to $9 a share, whatever that is. So it could use a little bit of a correction. And one thing that I'm just noticing or re-noticing here is you've got a little minor double top, which is actually, I actually kind of like that pattern. I call it a double top knockout. If you have a knockout move, kind of like you have right here, ideally a knockout would be like all these bars together would be just be one bar down. But it does have that characteristic to it. A little tiny bit of a fake out. That's a little bit more advanced, but little tiny bit of a fake out at its old highs. Shorts are thinking, oh my goodness gracious, this thing is so overvalued, it deserves to go to zero. So let's start shorting it on this little minor devil top. Anyway, so again, it did pull back to the moving average. Landry Light goes to zero, and then Landry Light went to two, which is fine. And there's the parameters down below. Let's put those on the chart. Entry, stop, IPT. Now, I can give you if you go to members resources, daylearner.com/members resources, I don't know if there's a dash in there or not. I don't know if it's behind a paywall, but for the paid clients or the gold members at least, they have access to the spreadsheet. But I can give you the same spreadsheet that I use to track everything. It'll be blank, so you'll have to put in your own parameters. And the only parameters you need are two parameters, your entry and your stop, okay? Well, the entry needs to be far enough away to avoid getting triggered in on noise alone, okay? Not one cent above the recent high, because unless the close is way down here, like a textbook TKO, entries above the high, stops below the low. Excuse me, I'm still trying to shake this crud. Anyway, the protective stop is going to be based on the volatility of the stock, not what you want to risk. So the protective stop of this stock was, let's back that up for a second and see what it was percentage wise. Hopefully I had the percentage chart. Yeah, it was 34% stop. And as I've said before, people are like, well, I can't use no 34% stop. And it's like, well, you don't get no Coke, like they said in Caddyshack. Anyway, so the stop needs to be far enough away to ride out the short-term noise of the market. Now, for your initial profit target, that distance from the entry to the stop, otherwise known as risk, okay, is the same as your initial profit target. But Dave, that's a one-for-one basis. Isn't that, doesn't that cause a negative expectancy? It's like, okay, well, settle down, Beavis. Yes, if you only made $1 for every dollar you risked, okay, risks, then yes, it would have a negative expectancy, meaning that it will lose money longer term. The secret sauce is taking off those half of the position, but leaving on half and then loosening that stop and then riding out that longer term trend. That's very difficult for most people, okay? But that's what works. And that's the only thing I've found to work for longer-term trading. Longer-term trading, as I preach, your accuracy is going to be abysmal from mechanical testing. Not that everything could go back to statistics, and statistics don't work in markets. Everybody knows that, right? At least 75% of all people know that. Statistics are worthless, right? Anyway. But I have learned that longer term trading, the accuracy, if you had to put a number on it, you're going to be right about 27% of the time. Okay. And let's just use 30-70 to make the math easy. So you're only going to be right 30% of the time. Okay. You're going to be wrong 70% of the time. Your drawdowns are going to be absolutely abysmal. And that's why I created this hybrid money management system to solve for that. Okay. So this does not have a negative expectancy because you have the open-ended potential. If you don't have open-ended potential on your trades, your life's going to be a lot more difficult, because when, not if, you get whacked, it's going to be very hard for you to climb out of that hole. Also, this has been a few years, but I saw somebody's record that was fairly accurate. And I looked at the number of trades and all, and I did all the math, and they're successful. So I can't take that away from them. At least they claim they're successful. And the amount they were making per trade was 5 cents. So to me, it's like slippage and commissions and fills, and you've got to get it exactly right if you're only making 5 cents a trade. And what if you're in a stock that's halted? I'm in a stock right now. It's been halted for 3 weeks, okay? It's going to end badly on that one. It always ends badly, but it's going to end really badly. This thing, I made a shit ton of money in it, okay? I probably made more money than I put in. Yeah, I know I did, okay? So I'm just going to have to give up all those open profits, and it's going to suck, okay? But let's say you were trading, making 5 cents a trade, and then all of a sudden they halt the stock on you, okay? And then you lose thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. I'm still gonna lose thousands and thousands of dollars. But if you look at what I put into it and what I took out, in fact, I know I probably took out three times as much as what I put in. And, you know, every day I'm waiting for it to open to see what the damage is. But anyway, you have to, long story endless, you have to position yourself for longer term gains. Now, once you hit the IPT, I know I'm beating a dead horse on a lot of this, but sometimes, you know, it's like the Anthony Robbins talked about the preacher who gave the same sermon every week. And one of the preachers came in and said, I can't help but notice that you're saying the same thing every week. He says, yeah, but keep saying the same thing until you people get it. So that's kind of my mantra here. And you know what? I need to hear it a lot of times because I get, believe me, I'm not immune to temptations. Anyway, you can see that it kind of meanders after hitting the IPT and then stops out. Okay, well, that's what I call the better than the poke in the eye trade. You made 34% of the first loaf, or $1,000 per 100K, 1% over on your account over a fairly short period of time, and you made zero on the second. Okay. So again, that's better than a poke in the eye. And that's, if that's the worst, as I preach, if that's the worst you've ever done, you would own the world fairly quickly. And when that happens, you just shout next. When you get stopped out, you just shout next. All right, here we have the next setup. Notice that big acceleration higher. Notice the pullback, and within the pullback, you've got the TKO type of move. Okay, the trend knockout, the nice big wide range bar down. That's gonna knock some players out. That's gonna suck some more shorts in. And if the stock triggers and begins to rally, the shorts are going to get squeezed. Those people that were knocked out might be fickle enough to jump right back in and squeeze the shorts, help squeeze the shorts higher a little bit further. And shorts have a big ego. And I spoke at a day trading conference many years ago, and I learned that there's actually a pattern called shorting the parabolics. Shorts will short a stock going straight up. And that kind of explains why every now and then, not that often, but every now and then, you'll get in a TKO and it'll go parabolic on you, which is fantastic, right? Because the shorts are getting squeezed, but they refuse to accept that the stock deserves the high valuation, and they'll actually short a stock that's going straight up. Good luck with that. It's a very ego way to trade, a very testosterone filled way to trade. But that helped me to wrap my head around some of the other players that are in the market. You're trading traders, not markets. Remember that. Anyway, so this one looks pretty darn good. Entry stop IPT. What happens? It failed miserably. Now, I've forgotten that this one failed miserably, okay? Before I just told you everything I told you. So in all honesty, it's like, I thought this would work, okay? But it did not. 2% loss in the overall account, 27% on the position. I'm not sure the percentage that you make per position is super important with my methodology, but obviously once it becomes like triple digits, then it becomes relevant. So again, big blue arrow, pull back to the moving average. Pretty decent looking setup, right? Trades fairly cleanly, thrust, pullbacks for the most part, or consolidates, pullbacks, whatever consolidates, breaks out, rinse and repeat. Nice little pullback to the moving average. Okay. So there's all the parameters. Entry stop, IPT. And that was Kados. Remember earlier this year, the fin stocks got hot. Well, the fin stocks weren't super hot when we started trading them, but they were trending nicely. They were setting up like this one here, okay? And all of a sudden, I guess all the wars and shit in the world, you know, not to confuse the issue with facts, the fin stocks rallied higher. So nice little pullback to the 30 EMA. And again, you hit that IPT, stop comes to break even. And then you trail it loosely on the remainder, and eventually you get stopped out. So that was, I think that was like 100% profit. I don't have it in here, but I have it later on. All right, here's another one. Nice persistent trend, nice little pullback. looks pretty darn good. Cypher, entry stop, IPT. Takes a couple days to trigger, doesn't do a whole lot for the first day or so. Then it rallies up to the initial profit target. You take off half your shares. I know, I feel like I have to beat the dead horse in this, though. And then let's see what happens. And then you eventually get stopped out. And this is a little bit better than the poke of the eye. You made 1% on the first loaf, 0.38% on the second, or $1,000, 380 on 100K, 28%, 10% respectively. It's better than the poke of the eye. What is this, a month? Okay, round numbers, whatever, about a month in a trade. And you made 1.3%, 1.4% almost. Annualized, that's okay. It's not amazing, but it's okay. That's a pretty decent profit. And again, if you made that much on every trade, you'd be doing pretty good. But we're not going for a 1.3% gain overall. We're going for a 20% gain overall, or a 200 or 300% overall in the position. All right, here's another one. Thrust, pullback, thrust, pullback, thrust, pullback. Rinse and repeat. Okay, big blue arrow pointing higher. Nice little pullback. Not quite to the 30, but that's okay. It's probably to the 20 at least. There's parameters, ATAI, entry, stop, IPT. Takes a couple days to trigger, rallies up, bam, hits the IPT. What happens? Stop comes to break even. And then let's see what happens. It comes dangerously close to the stop. Then it begins to take off a little bit. And then it stops out. Well, all trades will eventually end badly, okay? It just comes with territory. And by the way, one thing I was thinking about right before going live, a while back into the presentation, I've done more than one, but there's one I could think of in my mind, where trading is really about getting the reps in. And it's going to be much easier to get the reps in if you're doing something super simple, as opposed to doing something with 10 extra parameters that you're using to confirm or not confirm or whatever the setup. So again, it all comes back to keeping it simple. And then you want to get reps in with that simple type of analysis. So you get better and better. Your chart reading becomes better and better. You're not relying so much on indicators. You don't have the analysis paralysis and so forth. Very important to get good reps in. Like I said, one of my buddies in the gym, a little older than me, I think he's right around, how old is he? He might be 77. He's in the 70s. You know, I was born in 1900s too, so I'm getting up there. I'm 60. But anyway, he goes in there, he jerks the weights around, okay? He has the most horrible form ever. Everybody's trying to talk to him, including the trainer, but he keeps doing this. And since I've known him, he's had one rotator cuff surgery. He's had two surgeries prior to that. And I think it's safe to say he'll have a third or fourth surgery. So he's not getting in good reps. He's going to get bad reps, right? All right, so that one worked out. Okay, this was a nice little thrust higher, nice little pullback to the EMA. That looks pretty good. Okay. They're all sort of look familiar, right? I was getting ready to say, did I just cover this one? That's a good thing, right? It's pattern recognition, okay? One after another. Also notice you've got some acceleration higher. It trades fairly cleanly, a little sideways here. It sold off a little bit, consolidated, but you know, just kind of going sideways here. And then it began to take off and again accelerated and nice little orderly pullback to the moving average. It got a little ahead of itself, okay? Got a little overbought, corrects the overbought. That looks pretty good. All right, let's see what happens. Triggers. And it dies out for a while. This was this was a bit dead buddy report, probably had more than 1 week in charts going back in 2025. So again, you hit the IPT eventually, right? On this one at least. And then let's see what happens. Well, it takes off a little bit, but then stops out. Okay. That was a little bit better than the poke in the eye. Now, this one you could argue is a little wide and loose back here. Okay, but it's not completely an electrocardiogram. Okay. It has worked its way higher and not a perfect manner, but then notice that it did begin to improve. It made a nice fat base here. Bigger the base, bigger the launch into space. I thought that was me, but it's Mr. Acaporo, Ralph Acaporo. As I said before, he's a trip. I spent some time with him at CharCon a couple years ago. Really fun guy. And again, you know, you've got a gradual uptrend, a big blue arrow, acceleration higher, and then a pullback. Not quite to the EMA, but I'm not a stickler for that. Again, this stock and every other stock in here was found with zero moving averages, zero indicators on the chart. And then for educational purposes or teaching purposes, however you want to look at it, I'll add a moving average because the Langerlite pullback is one of the patterns that I do like. Okay. So there's all the parameters down there. Entry, stop, IPT. Now, this does not happen that often, but it goes to show that you really need to pay attention for when it does. I did quite a few in the series, and I forget how long I've been doing them, and I'm probably going to resume that series because I, you know, my own, you're not supposed to say in your own humble opinion because it's your opinion if you say it, but IMHO, I think they're pretty good. A million little things. There's a million little things in trading. And I confess a lot, probably more than I should. But, you know, I think it was last week, I took home some shares accidentally on what was supposed to be a day trade in an ETF, okay? And I had a small loss at the end of the day. I exited in one account, but in one of my bigger accounts, I left a few shares on by accident, okay? And the market let me off the hook. And that's one of the discussions we were having in Facebook, in the Facebook group, Dave Landry's Trend Traders, not too long ago, is you fat finger something, which will happen. You make a mistake, which will happen. Linda Rasky says, correct all mistakes immediately, okay? Well, I'm not as disciplined as Linda when it comes to that, at least. I try to trade out of them. And there's many times when I think to myself, Dave, you would have been better off just getting out of it. In this case, I would have too. But sometimes I try to treat it as bank makes the monopoly thing? Bank makes an error in your favor type of thing. And more often than not, I probably get burnt. Probably should just exit immediately when that happens. But anyway, the point I was trying to make with a million little things is, let's say that you're like, oh yeah, Dave's got this stock, but it was down really hard yesterday. It's probably not going to trade, probably not going to trigger anytime soon. I'm going to go have lunch. I'm going to go run some errands. I'm going to go do whatever, go to work or whatever. Okay. Well, you have to have an order in place for when something like this happens, or at least an alert to wake you up. So I'm not saying stare at a screen all day. I recommend you don't do that. You're going to get into a lot of trouble if you do. That's another conversation altogether. But at least put an alert in, and then in some cases, especially once the market opens, just put in a hard order, and then go about your life. Anyway, you hit the IPT on day one. I love for that to happen. The only problem is sometimes when these markets go straight up, it's very hard for them to sustain that. So you get stopped out. 25% gain. You made a little bit. Not sure why you made a little bit more on the IPT. I have to check that. And nothing on the rest. So again, much better than poking the eye. This one looks pretty good too. And I don't know whether this one failed or not. I don't remember which stock this is. And I purposely blacked them out so nobody would have kind of an opinion about the company or what they do or whatever, or confuse the issue with facts in any way, shape, or form. But I'm seeing acceleration here. And boy, look how cleanly this stock trades. Yeah, it goes sideways here and there. But who cares, okay? It hugged that moving average that entire time. Not that you want to trade it back here, okay? But it's kind of like it goes up, it consolidates, it pulls back a little bit, goes sideways, takes off a little bit, nice little orderly pullback, takes off, nice little orderly pullback, accelerates higher, and then has a fairly sharp pullback, which is okay. This stock went straight up. It could use a deep correction, right? Shake some people out. Back to the moving average to complete the setup. Entry, stop, IPT. I hope this one works because I sure did sell it hard, right? So it takes off, triggers, and no, fails miserably. So this is actually a good example, okay? I'm not glad it failed, but I'm glad it failed for example purposes, because I feel like everything was here. Now, if you guys want to discuss this as to whether or not you would have taken this trading, that's kind of the whole point of this presentation. And in fact, it's probably better for you if there are a few in here that look phenomenal that don't work. Now, I'm pretty sure I wrote risky or crazy on this trade, because it is a little crazy. I think the HV was through the roof, but it flat out didn't work. Okay. Now, I don't want to rub salt in anyone's wounds, but I did not take this trade. So, by the way, one thing I wanted to mention earlier, remember when I was saying that for me, I had to see somebody else do it to make me realize that it could be done, and that the ups and downs and the losses and all that other good stuff that comes along with it, right? Stuff that's not in the brochure, the stuff that the gurus don't tell you is there. And one thing is, where was I going with that? Sorry, this cold's got my head a little foggy. It'll come back to me. But anyway, I think it's important to look at something that looks good like this, that flat out doesn't work. Oh, what I wanted to say is the reason. Okay, let me back it up. I got it now. If you want to see any one of these trades, first thing I got to encourage you to do, so I don't have to do any work, is go in and watch the weekend charts around that time, and you can kind of eyeball the time frame. And sometimes they trigger intra-week, so within a week or two of the day of the setup, I should have, not in all cases, but in most cases, I should have the real-time trades in the weekend chart presentations, okay? You can go to the methodology in action, and again, watch as many as you can stand. I mean, if you want to learn how to do this, that's what you do. I know it's not super exciting, okay? But if you want to learn how I trade and how we had a pretty good year, knock on wood, this is exactly what we did. So you can go in and take a look at these. But if there's any trade where, if you wanted to see that I actually took the trade and how I took the trade, by all means. Now, this one I did not, and that's why I went to this long conversation. It's because, and this is based on a little bit of Larry Connor's research, Larry figured out that if a market closes very strongly, like this is the close and this is the bar, toward the top of the range, okay, that there's a high likelihood there's going to be follow through on the next open, but there's no statistical evidence afterwards, okay? So to wrap your head around that, what happens is everybody's kind of rushing in to buy on the close, and then the people who missed it the next day are like, I forgot to buy it, or I need to buy it, or look at that, or whatever, and they rush in. But that's the last of the Mohicans. That's the last of the greater fools, so to speak. Now, I'm not a fan of short-term stuff. Again, I think you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. I think if you're buying strong closes and looking to flip out the next open, one of these days the stock's going to halve on the next open. And there you are, making a crumb, and then getting creamed. The old commodity adage comes to mind: eat like a bird and shit like an elephant. Anyway, so I didn't take the trade because I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I know this is close to triggering. Now, here's the thing, too, not to rub salt in the wounds, but if you go in and watch the service for that particular day, in fact, that might be a better way of doing some of this analysis, or you can go through the YouTubes, of course, but go to davelearner.com/archives, and that's exactly where I got all these trades for this presentation. I went to all the archives of 2025 to figure out when I recommended a trade, when it triggered, etc. Anyway, if you're going to watch the one on that day, it would be October 20, probably service in the archives 10/27/25, because this is the 26th and that's a trigger day. The service is published the day before. So in that service, and I wouldn't bet my life on it, but I would almost bet my life on it, I'm pretty sure I said, guys, it closed really strong, so y'all be careful on the open. And I think I said y'all and everything. And it did. It had that opening gap reversal. So I didn't take that particular trade. It didn't work out. Well, it happens. All right. See, they're all starting to look the same. And I forget whether I covered this one or not, but what do we have? Kind of sideways, drifts a little lower, sideways, thrust, pullback, thrust, consolidation, thrust, pullback, thrust, pullback, thrust, pullback. Okay. My thinking is it could rinse and repeat. It could do it again, right? Big blue arrow, acceleration. We've got quite a bit of persistency. Okay. And you could draw a line through most of the bars. Okay. That's just my simple way of doing persistency or quantifying or qualifying persistency. And if you do have bars that are above your line, you know, intersect as many bars as you can. Mathematically, that's equivalent to linear regression. I just like looking at the charts and drawing a line through the bars. Excuse me. But you've got a fair amount of persistency, nice little fairly orderly pullback to the moving average. Landry-like goes from 50 something, so like 50 something days, 60 days or so of the stock not even touching its moving average. That's how strong it is. Okay, that's just demand. Every time a mudlark comes over for supper, which is once a week, she's always asked me why the market is doing what it's doing. And my answer is always the same. I don't know. I don't know. You know, 6 months from now, I can tell you why, what happened. You know, 6 months, I was looking at an article. I was cleaning up an article earlier, What Keeps You Up at Night. It's on Substack and on my website. And I noticed that I was talking about the market was going down and they were blaming it on tariffs. Okay. Well, back then it was so doom and gloom. We should be down 40% by now or 50% in a bear market, right? Well, the market turned around and went straight back up. The market turned into a honey badger. It didn't care. So you could come up with things, but you'll never know the true reason until maybe a year later or 6 months later. So you can't trade off the news, obviously, and you can get yourself in a lot of trouble if you try to connect those dots, believe me. Anyway, there's all the parameters down below. Entry stop, IPT, and let's see what happens. Okay. It took a while to trigger. And it's another one of those that took forever to trigger, but on day one, it took off. Now, I think, as I said earlier, I said that every one of these trades, I could show you real trades. I botched this one, okay? I did not take it because I applied a little discretion because it came right to the entry, it came back in. Okay, usually a little discretion will help, but sometimes it cuts both ways. So earlier I showed you one that I missed that would have been a $2,000 loss. This one here, I chased it a little bit and ended up losing money on a trade where I should have made money, but then it comes right back in, unfortunately. Okay. It happens. Spell the silent SH. All right, here we have one. You could see nice acceleration up. Fairly deep pullback. It came out of a nice long base. Okay. And ignore that line down there. Entry stop IPT. Okay. NUAI. So let's see what happened here. Again, there it is. There's the parameters. Entry stop IPT. Bam. Another one of those one day wonders. Believe me, that doesn't happen often. I made it look like it happens often, but it does not. In fact, I prefer if it I know it sounds crazy, but I'd actually prefer if it didn't happen and took its time a little bit within reason to get that IPT. When a market goes straight up like that, it's very hard for it to sustain that type of move. I mean, here's a stock that went from, we had an entry around two and change or whatever, and then it ran to seven and change. You know, unfortunately, it required a super loose stop, and then we got stopped out on a gap. But overall, that turned out to be a pretty decent trade. So these are all the trades going back to the beginning of the year. And if you go in 2 episodes ago, you could see all these. So I thought it'd be important for you to first see the type of trades we were taking in the type of market. Like the gentleman I was referring to earlier who said, Dave, your book's great, but you're not giving me any context. What was the market doing during this time? What was the sector doing during this time? Now, I suppose if you have a charting package, which we all do, and you could even do it free in many cases, you can go in and say, okay, well, that this is July of whatever. We'll go in and see what the market sector was doing. So, you know, do your own due diligence, I suppose, as opposed to me showing you everything. But anyway, you could see a couple slides ago, we were shorting. Now the market's going up. What are we doing? We're buying stocks, okay? So again, go in and watch last week's presentation. We'll talk about all these 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry. We talked about all these in a lot more detail. And look, there's your occasional outlier, okay? 16% on the first low, 106% on the second. And then we still have the two gold open trades. So we'll see what happens there. All right. Let's shift gears and get into crypto. Any questions on any of that? I kind of feel like I rambled on and on. My wife, like, how'd it go? Well, I rambled a lot, but I think I brought it all back together. Hopefully I did. All right, let me get this set up. If there's any crypto pairs you want to look at, let me know. I can't imagine that there would be anything worth doing. And I'll show you why here in 1 second. The most important thing to look at, and as I said earlier, with a bull market, it covers a multitude of sins. So obviously you're looking at the S&P 500, NASDAQ, okay? With crypto, obviously, you want to pay attention to what's going on with Bitcoin. Bitcoin is your bellwether. If Bitcoin is going up, then there's excitement around crypto and a lot of these shitcoins, or as they call them, altcoins. Everybody calls them shitcoins that trades them. They'll take off, too, and sometimes you can just buy the strongest ones. I know I say this every week, but anyway, you can see Bitcoin's been in a pretty serious slide. I put out a post a while back. I wonder if I still have it in here somewhere. It's always darkest right before it gets more dark. No, I have to find it. And I think, don't quote me, but I think we're up in the mid-90s or maybe a little higher when I put that out. But that was a few months ago or a month ago at least. I got a buddy in the gym. He's a huge fan of Bitcoin. I'm a big fan of Bitcoin, right? But I'm not going to buy it right now because I don't want to catch a falling knife. And I think that's a really bad idea. And if you didn't know anything, just draw your big blue arrows, okay? Let me just show you real quick. And here's where, you know, I just preach don't use indicators. But if you can't see what the market is doing, take a look at something like Landry Light, okay? What do we have over here? Uptrend. What do we have here? Nice green Landry Light. What do we have over here? Downtrend. What do we have down here? Nice red Landry Light, okay? What do we have here? Electrocardiogram. Up, down, up, down, up, down. Jackie Mason market, okay? What do we have down here? Up and down Landry Light, okay? Now we have a bona fide downtrend. And we had 40-something days of Landry Light before a little bit of a pullback to the moving average. And then now we're continuing that downtrend. I haven't looked at a weekly in a while. Let's take a look at that real quick. So let's see if we can get that to come up. So here's a weekly. You see, even on a weekly chart, it's looking pretty ugly. Let's put a bow tie in here just for shits and giggles. S and G's. Okay. So that's a daily bow tie. Proper order is just 10, less than 20, less than 30. Look at this beautiful bow tie back here off of all-time highs, okay? People will often say, hey, Dave, what about the bow tie in Bitcoin, like right here? I'm like, well, hang on a second. The bow tie is a transitional pattern made to get you in as early as possible on a top, probably not as early as a first thrust. And it's also to keep you from chasing your own tail. But when you get a bow tie off of all-time highs, it usually pays to pay attention. Now, this one didn't have a huge slide from it, but it was worth paying attention to, right? And now this one, here's your real slide, obviously. And we need to pay attention to that in the S&P 500, obviously. But you can see, look at this red downtrend proper order. That means 10's less than 20 and 20's less than 30. The parameters are right here. It's a 10 simple, 20 exponential, 30 exponential. So Bitcoin is no bueno, for now at least. Now, again, if Bitcoin was doing phenomenal, you can come in here and sometimes just buy the strongest pairs, provided that they're ideally banging out some new highs. And I'm just going to go through these real quick and see if there's anything. Now, you guys want me to look at anything? I'll be happy to pull up some charts. There's a few stocks mixed in here. I throw them on here because it's I like the way the app works on my phone more than any other chart package. I just could kind of see what my portfolio looks like, you know, kind of a quick and dirty kind of way. But anyway, I'm not seeing anything worth doing, okay? And as you can see in a lot of these, right, it's always darkest before it gets more dark. There's no need to try to catch that falling knife. I've made one crypto trade that I can remember in the last couple of months. And, you know, one of the million little things I'm not doing that I should be is I should be doing my analysis every day, but I kind of feel like, there's probably nothing there. I'm not going to bother. Okay. Now in stocks, because I have a trading service, I have the same kind of feeling every now and then, like right around now. But I know that if I'm forced to do my homework, there might be something worthwhile. And as I've said 1,000 times, I need some new material, but as I said 1,000 times, I've had a few people stop trading the day before I found some really great looking setups. Okay, Brian, let's look at Amazon. We'll take a look at that in a second. All right, let's shift gears and get to the, let's take a look at the market real quick. Okay. Let's take a look at, just real quick, take a look at the Landry 100. I think I'm not quite 100 in there. It's like 98 or 96. So I had no problem, to my surprise, filling the Landry 100 until very recently. And these are stocks that are just bought at brand new highs, okay? And you can see this one was bought. This is one thing that I'm not using real money on, although I did experiment with a few of these with real money. Sometimes I do come in and trade like a Russian doll or some kind of setup like that. So here's this USAS, which triggered, or I put it in way back in April, right around this stealthy day somewhere in here, where it made a brand new closing high. And I have a scan for that. And that's where I feed the Landry 100. I don't recommend just buying stocks at new highs, okay? Unless you're buying a big basket of them, like 100 of them. And then if you do that, I mean, look at these crazy gains. Let's see, that's how many stocks is this? 33 stocks. So at least 30, let's see, about 30 stocks at least. These stocks have over 25% gains since they've been added to the list. Now there's going to be some stinkers in here. Okay. There's one that's down. What's this one down? Okay. So that was going to come out today. All right. So the reason that you don't see a bunch of up stocks in here is because when they look like this, I pull them out, okay? So that stock will come out today. I'll replace it with something that looks better or a cash slot. And that's pretty much how it works. So there's that NRGV again. That one's kind of waking up. But you can see there's some decent gains in here. What's the market doing? Oh, the market's up nicely today. That's cool. Now, if we want a rip-roaring bull market, you probably could buy the top five of these and do really well. And I've said 1,000 times, but I had a client years ago, and he would take my Landry list and put it into a he had like a little app on his phone. I think it was a free app from CNBC or something. And he would stay in the five top Landry list stocks all day, and he did really well. And according to him, he paid for 2 down payments on 2 investment properties by doing that. So. But that was a rip-roaring bull market, okay? So we're not in that type of market now. The easy part, as I was alluding to earlier, may be over. And let me show you why I'm saying that. If you take a look at the P's, okay? So we had this fantastic run, okay? Just was absolutely beautiful, right? From those lows. Now, as a trend follower, I was late to get in. I was not seeing setups here or here or here. And go in and look at those charts that I just went through really quickly in the presentation. We didn't have a whole lot of longs just yet, but then over time we were able to put on more and more longs, okay? So you can see now it's not quite as easy, all right? Because first of all, on a net-net basis, like going on yesterday's close, you can go all the way back to mid-October and you can see the market didn't make any forward progress. We have a bit of a head and shoulders top. I don't use a tremendous amount of classical technical analysis. I'd recommend you learn it and maybe use it as kind of like a backstop or a backdrop to what you're doing. But I do believe in a head and shoulders pattern, okay? And for me to believe in a pattern, I have to be able to wrap my head around it. And it's like a market makes a shoulder, kind of sells off a little bit, makes a new top. Everybody feels good, like, okay, that wasn't the top. And then it tops out like it did here. So everybody's thinking, okay, that's the top. I better get out. And most people won't sell a stock on the way down until they're forced out, okay? Most people sell a stock on the way up. So when it stalls shy of the prior high, especially if this shoulder is higher than this one, that could be a fairly bearish pattern. Now, I don't short off this pattern, but I will begin to pay attention. I might pull my horns in a little bit, okay? Unless the setup is knocking my socks off, I'll probably pass. Anyway, a bit of a head and shoulders top in the works there. That's a little concerning. I'm glad the market's popping today. Don't get me wrong. We're off the best levels, obviously. Let's just see what happens. Okay. Trend following is a lot of sitting around and waiting. NASDAQ composite has a bit of a gatekeeper retrace look to it. Also head and shoulder type of top. Rusty 2000. That's a bit of a bummer because we finally broke out into rusty to all-time highs. And then we came right back in. So that's a bit of a bummer. Now, one thing you might notice is like last week, I might have been a little bit more bullish, right? Well, it changes quickly. And when you're right around those all-time highs, a few down days looks pretty bearish and a few up days looks pretty bullish. And you've got to be careful not to chase your own tail, but you take things one day at a time, okay? A lot of areas that tried to make it to the old highs, like robotics and AI, have come back in. Cybersecurity, big deep retrace there, stalled out, came right back in, all the way down to the 200-day moving average. Internet, none of those areas tried to rally, and now it's kind of rolling back over. Draw your big cup type of patterns on the chart, inverted cups. Gold stocks looking pretty good, just shy of all-time highs. You know me, I sure like to see as clear as prior peak and not look back for a while, especially since we're long a couple of gold stocks. Gold commodities just shy of brand new highs. So this is going to be an inflection point. If we take this out with vigor, then we might have a continuation of the bull market. Broker dealer broke out, came all the way back into where it's broken out from. Still looks okay, but additional weakness here would be of concern. Biotechnology, so far this pullback has been fairly orderly. In fact, we're just hitting the 30 EMA, even though it looks kind of like an ugly spill. We're only down to the 30 EMA. And biotechnology has been in a fantastic uptrend for quite some time. Transports, one of the few areas that's doing pretty good, okay? We recently broke out the all-time high. So far, just pulled back a little bit. I'm not a Dow theorist, but they seem to think that the transports are important, as the kids say, for the overall market. They have a whole Dow theory based on that. As somebody told me years ago, he says that semiconductors are like the information superhighway, and that's more important than the actual transports. What's kind of interesting with the transports is like, okay, the transport's going to go away. Transports aren't that important. And then what happens? Okay, Amazon rises from the ashes, right? And or just comes out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, it's like, you have all this, you know, all these logistics and transports going on. It's just ridiculous if you think about it. It's like there are things that I could literally go, probably almost throw a rock. Well, my arm's not that good, but a block away and buy, and I'll just order them on Amazon because it's easier for me to just have it come to my door the next day or the day after, right? But anyway, I digress. So what I'm saying is old school becomes new school again with the transports. Let's see if we can just look questionable. Okay, we got a bit of a double top in the works there. If you take a look at the video, it's looking kind of questionable at best. We had the all-time highs here. We came back in. Mags, you know, Mags is kind of amazing me because it was like the old leader became the new leader, and then it was trying to become the new leader again, and it's still looking a little toppy in here. Of course, one or two big updates will make all the difference in the world. Their pot stocks have really lit up lately, right? But it has a bit of a, and I was telling my service peeps this last night and night before, it has a bit of that one and done type of move to it, okay? So it doesn't look sustainable. Brian, I'm going to get to your questions. Just one second. Keep them coming. Please keep them coming. Major drugs, not doing too bad. They rallied out of a pullback, stalled out a little bit, not too far from brand new high. So that's obviously a good thing. Health services overall has done fairly well as of late, rallied out of this deep pullback. As I said ad nauseum, this was an inflection point, and so far it is held, so that's a good thing. Financials look, now see, here's the thing, okay? It's kind of like trust, but verify, right? Financials look like a top forever, and then they broke out from that top. That's actually a bullish thing, is when a market looks bearish and then acts bullish. You know, I want to write that down. But nice little pullback so far after breakout, so that's one little glimmer of hope out there. A lot of other areas, though, have topped out. There's utilities, okay, not looking so hot. So the point I'm trying to get to here is that it's mixed at best out there. Now, just getting back to the metals real quick, silver not doing too bad. And don't worry, I'm not going to go all Burl eyes on you. Silver and gold. Anyway, platinum banging out some new highs, a little bit of vigor. So it's kind of interesting that gold is still looking all right, but some of these other rare earths or rare metals, precious metals, whatever, which ones are which, but are doing pretty good. I forget, lithium has come back in a little bit. Let's check on lithium real quick. Yeah, lithium's come back in a little, but it's still in a longer term uptrend, still looking okay longer term. It's kind of interesting that gold takes off, and silver takes off, and lithium takes off, and so forth. And then platinum now. So far, it seems to be doing okay, just kind of flopping back and forth. But anyway, the point that I'm trying to get to, and I do have one, is that the market is really, really, really mixed. So please pick your spots carefully. All right, Brian, let's take a look at Amazon. Speaking of Amazon, there's nothing for me there, okay? Jackie Mason type of stock. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. Let's get a clean, see if we can get a clean chart on here. Okay. So there's nothing for me there, okay? It's big gap down, you know, it's gappy, it's all over the place, all right? So there's nothing that should be done there. Let's see. Now, these stocks that were long, we got long way back here on this one, okay? They're not beautiful, but they're not new setups, okay? This is something that we're riding out longer-term trends in. So if you wanted to get into something, I wouldn't get into something like this right now, okay? But pay attention to those, you know, go back and look at those, every chart I just showed. And you know, it's kind of like sell it to yourself. If you're in the Facebook group, put it in Facebook group. And let us noodle with it a little bit. Say, okay, this is why I like this. This is why I think this stock could go higher. And repeat everything that I said, you know, acceleration, persistency, trades cleanly, and all these other things, okay? And does it look like electrocardiogram? That looks like electrocardiogram, okay? So your baseline, it would be like right there, okay? So where is it? 226. Where was it back in July? 226, okay? With lots of zigs and zags in between. In general, it's the shortest time frame you would trade. I hate to admit this, but every now and then I might do something what I call a race to the finish. Okay. Let's see if I can show you what I'm talking about. Let's go back to here. Let me see if the spiders would illustrate what I'm talking about. So every now and then, where's the end of the day? Okay, like yesterday, for instance, okay? And This is not my bread and butter, but every now and then you could pick up a little money doing this. You got to be super careful though, okay? But notice how this market imploded in the last 10 minutes, okay? So sometimes the market will go straight up after a long day down, and sometimes it'll keep imploding. And I never can understand why it keeps imploding, but Damon, trying to think of, I don't know how to pronounce his last name on the fly. I have to see it written out, spelled out. Anyway, Linda Rasky's husband, Damon, told me that he's an S&P trader, an S&P broker. He says that you'll have an order imbalance, and that's why you have this last big push. Even if futures are down 100 points, sometimes you have a big push at the end of the day. So the shortest time frame I'll trade, sometimes the last minute, I'll see that happening. Now, you got to be careful not to get sucked into this. My bread and butter is still my longer term trading. I'm here all day anyway, so I will do some of that, probably S&G type trading, probably had to be identified as that. But every now and then, I'll do that, what I call the race to the finish. See how it closed on its ass right here? Now, the thing is, again, you've got to be super careful with that. And I haven't fleshed out the intraday stuff like I have the longer term core trades, okay? You can see how simple I made the longer term core trades, the longer term little pullbacks, whatever, take the partial profits, trail stop, et cetera. I do occasionally have a feel for things for market movements intraday, like the race to finish, okay? And where I get in trouble, and this is Jimmy Rogers' analogy, is intuition versus intuition, okay? Intuition versus intuition. It's like, so there are times where I have a feel for it and I know the race to the finish is going to work, and I might ride the last minute of the day. Now, keep in mind, I try not to watch a screen all day long. I try to use alerts and sometimes hard orders to get me in. And once I'm in, I'm using a trailing stop and a limit order to take me out. If you wait and wait and wait and don't take intraday trades for days, sometimes even maybe a week or so, and you wait for everything to sort of line up, I could do okay if I let the market come to me. The problem is I make money, I get too full of myself, and I think just go in and take that income out of the market every day. Christmas right around the corner, right? I need to pay for this, need to pay for that. I'm having to transfer money out of trading. Well, let me see if I can make some money so I have some to transfer out. So that's an extraneous influence, okay, that I'm always talking about. You got to be careful with. So yeah, I look at 30-minute charts for my intraday stuff, and I don't want to scalp. I have a client that's a scalper. I tried following him. I failed miserably because I want to get in a position and I want to hold on to it all day. And ideally, it may be like an opening gap reverse would be a good idea, a good way of a good pattern of trade for letting the market come to you. You wait and wait and wait. You've got a stock in a nice trend. You've got a nice little pullback, you know, Dave Landry style, Landry-like pullback, or whatever you're trading. And then you get that gap down, and then all of a sudden you get a vacuum back up, or it's like the ball being pushed underwater. It goes up. You can get in, take partial profits, and then automatically trail a stop. So you're not watching every minute of the day. Now, because now that since I'm off on a tangent, in the back of my head, I think about this often, especially if I'm making an intraday trade, especially if it doesn't work out. Mark Douglas had a client once that came to him, the late great Mark Douglas, and the client said, "Mark, I go in, I trade 2 or 3 hours in the morning," and he's like a floor trader. He says, "I'll make like 10 grand. And in the afternoon, I'll lose like 13, 14, 15 grand or whatever." And then Douglas said, "Nobody has that much focus, okay? And there's huge dangers in day trading. And I preach against it. I don't do a lot of it, but I do some of it since I'm here, okay? So I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth. I'd recommend you not do it still." But anyway, he told this guy, he says, "This is what I want you to do." This is how he fixed him. He says, "You could trade 1 hour a day, but you pick the hour, okay?" And that's probably what I need to do. It's like I've people in the past have said that the open is amateur hour, and every time I get sucked into something and spit out on the open, I realize that there might be some truth to that. So now I tend to be a little bit more lenient on not trading the open. I pay attention to the open. I see what's going on. Unless it's like an opening gap reversal, I really try to sit on my hands for at least 30 minutes and not do anything and see if we have some follow through. The good thing about the end of the day is you have the whole picture of what happened during the day, okay? And you have a pretty good feel for what could happen in that last hour. And usually the closer you get to the close, the more decisive that move can be. Anyway, I digressed a lot on that. But the shortest time frame, occasionally I'll take an intraday chart. I will not take a swing trade over several days, okay? Unless I plan on taking partial profits and trailing a stop for a long time to make up for the potential negative expectancy, there's that word again, that phrase, of short-term trading. Okay, anything else? I'll give YouTube a second to catch up. While we're in impasse, I want to thank everybody for attending today. I appreciate you taking time out of busy schedules to be here. I will work on getting the word out a little bit better. Usually you can go to daylearner.com/webinar. There's some issues with that, with the software there now, but I will get on the technical support and see if they can fix that for me or what's going on with the ticket at least. But if you ever need the link, just ask me and I can get that link to you. And I could put a link in the comments below for the next show we do, just in case that link does get fixed. Anyway, okay, I think I filibustered enough. No questions. All right. Obviously, I want to thank all you guys and girls for attending. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules. Anything unanswered, DaveLandry.com. Everybody have a great weekend. I'll see most of you guys and girls that are here today. I'll see you on Facebook in a few minutes. And above all, may the trend be with you. Thank you so much. You're welcome.